Episode 396, December 10th, 2018.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Let's get right into it, Joe. So, Mac Bergson, our super fan. I was very upset that I mentioned what I ate at TGI Fridays last week.
Well, you mentioned it because I asked, and I asked because you had five meals at TGI Fridays. It's definitely, that's the question you have to ask. It wasn't like you were just hanging out.
Right.
You were with David Koechner.
Yes.
He's a B-list celebrity, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
You know, there was a time you might have argued that he was an A-list because he was on The Office, the most popular sitcom on all television.
By the way, it's more popular now, to be honest, because of Netflix.
Okay, so he's borderline A.
Yes.
And you and him ate at TGI Fridays five times while you did, what, 3 days worth of shows?
Yes.
Okay. So that's, what did you eat is the question. So, Mac, you know, go fuck yourself.
Yes. We're also going to, I have a new voicemail, so we're going to call my voicemail just to piss off Mac. But I'm eating Blue Apron tonight. We don't have a sponsor, but... And it was a...
Oh, what'd you have?
I'll tell you what I have, because it leads into this next thing I want to say. It was a this sort of meatball on a pita.
Go on.
And I'm like...
Describe
I'm
it in detail.
Eating, oh, it had the tzatziki sauce and these meatballs with the seasoning and some onions. And you don't like onions, but I'm eating this pita, and I'm like, why do I not eat more things on a pita? It's delicious.
Yeah, but they're not. Pitas aren't good for you.
Okay, that's fine. But then that got me thinking, what is your favorite vessel to eat meat out of?
All right, good question.
All right. Sorry, all right. Mac. You can.
Hey, how about the Mount Rushmore of vessels to eat meat?
We'll talk about what you know, something Gramps did today later. You can check back in then.
Yes.
Right now, we'll talk about a very weird topic, what people like to eat. I know it's very niche.
Huh. I'm having difficulty with this. You're not considering slices of bread. Is that separate from a bun? Because a pita is bread.
No, I'm saying any kind of bread, a sub, a tortilla.
Can I tell you what I don't like?
What's that?
Wraps. I don't like them.
Okay.
Not a wrap fan.
Not a
so
wrap
that would
guy?
Not be on. Yeah. I,
all right.
It, the only time, Mac Bergson, go ahead. You might want to record this to play it. Make it your ringtone. The only time I ever eat a wrap is when there's like some sort of business meeting and that's what they brought in for food.
And that's what you have.
I would never order a shitty wrap. Never.
They have those at Chick-fil-A. You've never ordered the wraps.
No, do I not even Chick-fil-A. I don't even go to Chipotle. I don't go.
Okay.
Mainly because most of it, I guess that's a tortilla, but it feels like a wrap.
Okay, I understand. It is. It's in the wrap family. But do you like a corn, or like a hard shell for a taco?
I prefer, here, let me tell you what I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like soft corn.
Yes.
Now,
like
it's hard to
corn.
Get that. It's hard to get that. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you're going to get soft flour. Mac's going to agree with us.
Yes.
All right. But if you order soft corn, and I do that when I go over here to this Mexican place, I say I'd like three tacos, soft corn tortilla.
I like soft corn. So you're the rest of your life, you can only eat meat off of this type of bread or whatever.
How?
And I'm counting tortillas. I'm counting
so if I have a hamburger, buns. I have to eat it on a tortilla. If I have a taco, I have to eat it on a hamburger bun.
Yes.
That's what I have to do.
Yes.
I don't even know how to answer that question.
That's a tough question.
Give me a sandwich and it's on a tortilla.
Well, I'm saying you could.
I guess bread. I guess it would be, you know, regular bread if it could be only one thing.
Okay.
Right? I don't know if it's white bread.
I don't
bread.
Know.
Yeah, what if I want a peanut
I'm telling
butter
you
jelly
the answer,
sandwich?
The answer is pita.
Yeah, all right.
You can have all that in a pita.
All right. PETA it is.
All right.
All right, there's our segment.
Now, Robbie, call my voicemail. I have a new voicemail. Call my phone.
Yeah, give it a call. This is the first 10 minutes is for Mac Burks.
Yeah. Joe, let me catch people up. A couple years ago, Joe shit on my new voicemail.
And this is a couple years ago. That was probably 4 years ago.
4 years ago. And so I kept changing it until he liked it. Okay.
Did you hit ignore? Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, Rob Merritt here. Sorry I missed you. Please leave a message.
Record your message after the tone. Simply hang up when done. Or for delivery options, press the pound sign.
Are we going to do the whole show on my fucking voicemail now?
It's not. I don't love it.
Okay.
There's still a little shtick in there.
I thought it was pretty bare bones.
I know, but there is one. Call me back. I mean, you still do that. I don't know why you don't just say, hey, you've reached Rob Mayer's voicemail. Give me a call back when you get an opportunity. Thanks, bye.
Because I don't talk like that.
Well, I hear you talking like that right now.
Hey, you reached Rob Mayer's voicemail.
Yeah, but you don't talk like that to me. You say, hey, you reached my voicemail.
You reached my voicemail. Give me a call back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can obviously leave the details, but.
Right.
It always sounds like a performance of some kind.
Okay, I really dialed it back.
Yeah, you did. I could tell you did your best.
I dialed it way back.
Your best wasn't good enough.
Yeah, but you should be a little bit of a something.
Oh, it's better than it was before. Before it was way.
But you should have a little bit of a performance. You're recording something. Have a little bit of personality in there, right?
I don't know.
Otherwise, just have an automated computer thing.
Let's see what Mac Berkson thinks. Okay. If he likes it, then I'm on board. Then I'm on board.
He'll say whatever he can to make sure we never do this again.
Well, all right. You know what? We're doing it again when your voicemail changes in another 5 years.
I can't wait. Checking out our latest iTunes reviews. Hey, we have 87 ratings now. Thank you, guys. 4.5 out of 5. We'll take that.
I will, because a lot of those are Dan Ninen, who used to go in there and just give us one star.
You see the breakdown. You see those ones. There's ones. They don't make sense. There's more ones than there are twos or threes.
There's mostly fives. There's... Yes. And then the next amount is one.
Exactly.
And that's mostly nine.
But we'd like to get to 100. So if you haven't, go to iTunes and give us 5 stars and write something nice. Don't write this, though. This is from I guess it's August 29th, but we haven't really read this in a while. From Microphone Mixer, skip the first 2 minutes. The new montage and theme are even more unlistenable than the old one. Yes, that is possible. So fast forward to 1:50 and hope that Robbie Robinson keeps quiet. Rob and Joe and Joe's fiance are all very funny. Marcus Serta and Robbie Robinson, not so much.
Who said that guy?
Who said that? I like
Microphone
him.
Mixer. Did he just hate Led Zeppelin? That was our last.
Well, that's the new one.
I know, but he hated these more unlistenable than the last one. So he hated that one, too.
Because I can't see the dates, Rob. Was it during the time of the Led Zeppelin one, or is he talking about the newest one?
Well, he mentioned the new one.
He said that this one is even more unlistenable than the last one, which means he hated the current one and the previous.
He could have been talking about the previous one. We had the Led Zeppelin ride for like 3 years.
We did.
Yeah, so now he's talking about this new one.
Yes.
But as far as the song on which the intro is based, the Led Zeppelin was the best song.
Yes.
The second is this new one, Long, Long Way From Home by Foreigner. And then the worst song of the three that we had was Wake Me Up Before You Go,
which is probably the most popular of all of our.
Clearly on the charts, it was the most popular.
Right. On the Rob and Joe Show theme song charts.
Robbie had Melissa Manchester right about. That's the next one.
Welcome to the show. We got to talk about Eric Woodworth at our Bright Box. It's out of the venue we do the most shows at. We were there 5 times this year. We're going to be there 6 next year. So twice.
12 shows
months.
Because we do 2 shows every time. Yeah, and we sell them all out.
Yeah, we are on a super roll. This is obviously our Christmas theme show. We're doing it at the Improv on the 20th and the 23rd at Magoobie's, A Merry Murder Mystery.
Can I say something real quick about selling that venue out? At the end of every show, we reveal all the people that got it right. We read their names. And then the funniest team name, you win tickets to a future show. But when I send out the email, I say in the event of a sellout, like we don't say no, we stop selling tickets and we sell all the tickets, then you have to pick a different show. We're not going to give free tickets away that were of a show that's sold out, and we sell out every show. So really, the people that win the tickets there, they really don't win tickets.
Yeah, but keep coming. So.
Well, what I'm saying is go buy a ticket if you want to get to the show.
Exactly. Just if you want to insure it, just spend the $20. But Eric, we speak highly of him often about his performance in these shows, and a lot of his performance his willingness to get various degrees of nakedness, to just to be physical comedy and to, you know, sing and dance. And he does sing a song in this one as Santa. He sings a Christmas song. And I don't know, when he did this, there was a couple things. There was A, is he doing this? Because if he was doing this, it's just an inside joke for us. Or is he, like, on something? Like, his something has altered his state where he doesn't know what's happening.
Right.
Or C, did he legitimately, like, I don't even, that's impossible. He's supposed to sing this song, and
well,
he starts.
You tell what song he sings.
All right? I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, by Mariah Carey. That's what he sings. And by the way, this is the third year we're doing this show. He's probably done this show 10 times.
Exactly. And he goes, he starts singing his song parody, not a parody, his original song about fucking a blow-up doll.
Yeah, and honestly, Robbie, when you heard him start that song, did you think for 2 seconds that he forgot that he was supposed to sing a Christmas song? Did you think that?
No. I thought
neither
was,
did I.
I
heard that.
He was screwing around.
I thought he was screwing around, too. Did you? What did you do? Walk up to him and go, dude?
Well, no. What he said is because immediately he was waiting for us to just tell him,
here's what you do.
Yeah, because me and Tommy were like, "What? Where's Mariah Carey?" or something like that. He knew he was supposed to sing that song. He didn't know when in the show. He thought it was later in the show. So once he heard our reaction, like, what the fuck, he then knew he was supposed to sing that song then. But I don't know. I don't get if he's singing a song, he knows it's not that song. He knows it's not the song from an entirely different murder version. It has nothing to do with Christmas.
Yeah, what's... I think he's like, well, this is going to get laughs, so let me just fucking sing this thing. Yeah, that was strange. Now, I usually forget the most.
Yes.
But I have the most to remember. I was just sitting there thinking, there's about 40 props, probably more than that, in this murder mystery. There's also 12 audience roles. Also, people have to sit on Santa's lap.
Yes.
So we have to give all that out, set everything up. A lot of the props is going to not make a whole lot of sense, but I have to get them back and use them and put them in a place so they can be used later in the show.
There's a lot of little things that have to
then
be done.
At the end, I have to introduce everybody. I have to read all the names. Then I have to give the roles out again for the second show. And I'm sorry. Then I have to collect all the binders and everything back. Then I have to give out the roles and do it again. I mean, I don't have to remember. I did forget one thing.
But it was easily
and it was remedied.
Correctable. Yes.
How the hell does he? By the way, he's sitting back there with a script.
I don't know.
I mean,
no idea.
He sits in the back. And he can just read the script.
Yes, he was reading it
until it's time to come out and just walk out when the script he's looking at says that he needs to come out.
It's by far the biggest error. Now it didn't. People were just like, "What the fuck's he talking about?" They didn't no idea.
And then he sang the real song and it worked. Yeah.
And the 10 seconds later, they're right back in the show, so it doesn't really matter. But it's I don't know how that, it's like you go to sing the national anthem and you forget, and then you just start reading fucking poem.
There's been bigger screw ups. I think me forgetting Sean Gabbert's name is worse than him forgetting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But that doesn't mean anything for the show. That was just
I'm just wondering what was. What's stranger to forget?
No, that's the strangest thing to forget, because
that you this Christmas song and you brought your guitar and you tuned it.
And if he's not supposed to sing that song, then why are we letting him
hold
pick
a
up
guitar?
The guitar?
Yes, what's
start?
He? Yeah,
he knows he's not another song he's singing. There's only one song he sings in the entire show, and it's this song. So he can't think. Do I sing fucking? You know. All I Want for, or do I, I'm not saying, you know, Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire now. It's only one song he sings for Christmas, and it's this one.
It didn't annoy me, though, which is weird. I didn't love that Tommy was supposed to memorize a song, and even during
the first fucking verse and chorus of an extremely popular song.
Iconic song, right?
Yes.
So, during the conference call, I remember this. Specifically, and here's why I remember it, because Robbie got pissed off because I didn't like a sound effect, which I hate, because then it's like that annoys me, not because only because God, that means I can't be critical of anything. We're doing something creatively. I
you
hate
were
that.
Snide yes. and condescending, Joe. It wasn't that you were critical of the sound.
Well, hold on, but we had already
what
said
is that
what,
gong?
Well, hold on. We had already said what it was going to be. And in typical Robbie fashion, you just changed it.
No, that is not what happened.
No, that's not what happened.
No, we had a lot of discussions. There was no just, oh, it's just going to be a harp until we decided that later at the time of the rehearsal.
I think we're getting too inside.
Sorry. Okay, so we didn't have this. Well, we never had this discussion again. I thought that we had decided it was just going to be the chime. Whatever. I heard something added. I go, what was that gong?
I remember harp, whatever.
I remember saying to Tommy, hey, memorize this song, because I wanted Robbie to hear what happens when other people get instructions. I swear, I specifically did that because I wanted him to know, hey, other people aren't reacting this way, right?
Right.
By the way, I'm shitting on Tommy too because I knew he wasn't going to learn the song. I'm also being critical of him.
Yes.
Now, of course, Tommy said, sure, okay. Now, I'd rather him have been Robbie and gotten mad and done it than reacted the way I wanted him to. And then, right, ignore it completely, because he got up there and he did not know. He knew, when I get this feeling, I can tell you the song is Sexual Healing. When I get this feeling, I want sexual healing is the only line he knows of sexual healing.
But he's not saying it at the right time of the song.
He does. He doesn't know any other word of the song.
He also he has 37 Weird Al Yankovic songs memorized, including originals.
Well, that's what's so weird. Is like, you know, sometimes I remember when I wanted him to memorize Baby It's Cold Outside, and he had a lot of difficulty doing that.
Just think about that now. Like to think that we could think that he would do that.
But it was a parody. This is a song I'm imagining, because of all the karaoke he does, he's heard it. I mean, how many times do you think he's heard the song Sexual Healing without exaggeration? 50 times?
I mean, yeah, sure.
He's heard it 50 times.
Yeah, and that's without, like, you know, I've heard it, because I played it 50 times. So, but he's probably, yeah, just by it just being a song his entire life.
Do you think he likes it?
I mean, I'm guessing he doesn't.
What? You don't think he likes the song Sexual Healing?
No, because if he liked it, I think he would have learned it.
Because I'm sitting there thinking, at least it's an easy song to sit there and listen to over and over again because it's so great.
And it's not a very wordy song. It's not a super... like, Baby, It's Cold Outside is, even if you're just doing the original, is going to be much harder to memorize.
By the way, right now, I think I know every word of the first verse.
All right.
Baby, I'm hot just like an oven. I need some loving.
Oh, yes.
I don't know the next line.
Just like an oven, need some loving.
Baby, I think I'm capsizing. The waves are rising and rising or something like that.
Inside of me.
When I get this feeling, I want sexual healing. Yeah. That's it. They're already there. He only needs to memorize two lines.
I know. It's and know when to come in, which isn't that complicated either.
Yeah. It seems like if I would have Googled the lyrics, I would have learned those two words I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I'm interested to know. Hey, Robbie, call Tommy. If you could.
I don't think he likes the song.
All right.
Or he's just not familiar with it enough to have. By the way, he's did this 2 years ago when we had him do this when we reshot our video. This is his second time attempting this song.
Oh, you're right. Did he sing it then, or did he have the words in front of him?
I mean, we had it playing in the background, and he was supposed to sing it and dance and do a whole thing.
Yeah, but we had an opportunity to have different takes on that, right?
Yes. But that was
I texted
less,
Tommy.
Less important
today.
Hi,
and I
you've reached the phone of Tommy Lear, otherwise known as Tommy
okay. Speaking of fucking voicemails, does that sound? Do you like that voicemail?
That's supposed to be something. I'm not sure what that is. I texted Tommy today. I don't know if this is passive aggressive, but I said to him, I go, I just want you to know that sexual healing is in the top 0.001% of songs. Do you agree?
Yes. I think Marvin Gaye's a Mount Rushmore of soul singers, probably, right?
And okay.
It's one of his
call
iconic
back, Robbie.
Songs. Is that fair?
Well, a lot of his songs are iconic because he's one of the greatest.
Yes.
I mean, when the Rolling Stones did their greatest artists of all time, he was in the top 10.
Yes.
So he's going to have a lot he's going to have a lot of iconic songs. You know, but, I mean, he doesn't have as many songs as the Beatles or the Stones, you know? I mean, but he does have a lot. He probably has 20 songs that you know.
Yes.
But that's...
Hey, Tommy Sambazo, Robin Joe Show, you're on the air.
What's up, guys?
Nothing, man. We are curious. the song Sexual Healing, do you like it?
No.
Okay. You don't like it?
That's what I thought.
No.
So I just want to get this straight. So you think
if
that
if I were trying to seduce a 50-year-old black woman, yes, I would probably like it.
Well, why aren't you?
Yes. I'm sure Lou likes it. Sorry, Lou, for the listeners, is Tommy's girlfriend.
Let me ask Lou. Bev, do you like the song "Sexual Healing"? Ah, she likes it.
Of course, she likes it.
Everybody likes that song, Tommy.
By the way, that means more coming from Lou. Because let me tell you something. Lou is a fucking ride or die, man. If Tommy's like, hey, look at it, she will fucking side with him. It doesn't matter what. If Tommy's mad at somebody, that fucker has got two people mad at him. That's a fucking fact. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
Whatever. The point is that I was telling Robbie, remember when we had our call regarding the show and within the first 30 seconds, I mentioned the gong and the thing and Robbie almost quit the murder mystery. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
So... I purposely said to you, hey, please learn this song, mainly because I knew you probably wouldn't learn it, but also I wanted Robbie to hear what people did when somebody was critical or instructed them. I wanted him to hear that. But I just said on the air that I would rather you have gotten mad and learned the song. If I had to do it over again, I would rather you gotten pissed and learned the song and sang it.
As soon as we had that meeting, I was all set to learn it, and then I've been sick for the past 2 weeks, and I have no will to learn that song. And I tried listening, and I got up to the second chorus, and I'm like,
yeah, but you don't need the second chorus. We're gonna stop it by then. It's only the. By the way, we just tried to sing it. There's two lines in the first verse. Two lines.
Oh no! You got the ooh, and then you got the.
You're good at
ooh.
What, you don't like doing that?
I mean,
no.
Healing.
Hey, Tommy.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Tommy, we know you know that part. We believe me. We heard that.
Because that's what you did. Rinse and repeat. Is there? Do you like the song "Let's Get It On"?
Yeah. What about "Let's Get It On"? Can we do that?
I know of the song. I cannot recite lyrics for you. I know like "Let's Get It On" like that.
Well, you already know more than you know of the other song that we tried to
get. Is there any romantic soul song that you know and like?
Yes, "In Your Eyes" by Firehouse.
I was going to say Peter Gabriel.
What's "In Your Eyes" by Firehouse? What's that?
What is it? I see forever when I look in your eyes.
Yeah, but that's an 80s. That's not a soul song.
It's garbage.
Is there a popular one?
One that someone has heard of, yeah.
By an artist that people know.
Yes, people have to know the song and the artist. Is there anything like that?
Do you know a Hall & Oates song?
No. Man Eater.
Let me tell you, we went to karaoke with Tommy. It was great. Tommy's girlfriend, we just mentioned, Lou, she sang 32 songs at karaoke. But
all Marvin Gaye.
What did Tommy open with? Okay. You're going to guess. Then I'm going to keep giving you hints until you get it, which, by the way, I'm letting you know now, you never will. Continue.
Okay. Well, I know.
They'll never get it.
So it was a song. Robbie, how about Robbie? Robbie knows every song. I'm telling you, he does. Robbie.
I got to guess out of all the songs in the world what Tommy
nope,
sang.
Nope. I'm going to narrow this down.
Yeah, narrow it down.
It's a Tom Jones song.
He sang "What's New, Pussycat"?
Well, everybody knows that song. Whoa. Robbie, try again.
He sang,
Well, hold on, Robbie, let me
Delilah.
Preface it this way.
That's it. He just nailed it. He got it.
It's a karaoke standard of Tom Jones.
Okay, why don't you do "It's So Unusual"? Or what's that song?
Hold on
it's
a second.
Not unusual
Wait a minute.
To be loved
Wait a minute.
By anyone.
Can I say something?
Yes.
That's the best you've ever sounded, Rob. So,
thank you.
So, my brother has done more karaoke than everyone in the world combined. More than the entire country of Japan, okay?
Except when we asked him 19 times to do it on our murder mystery. After we screwed him the one first time. Sorry.
Robbie, is Delilah a karaoke standard?
I have never heard anybody sing that song.
So it's your standard is what you're saying.
No, I'd heard growing up doing karaoke, you know, back in the karaoke field, there was
growing up doing karaoke.
It was I would hear it at least once a night from some guy singing it.
Huh.
What? Wait a minute, hold on.
But not "Sexual Healing."
Wait a second, hold on.
No.
My brother, who's done karaoke over 30,000 times, has never heard anyone sing it, and you hear somebody sing it every single night. I mean, somebody is not telling the truth.
My guess is that Tommy heard the same guy each time he went.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, it's just one
well,
guy.
Well, that's part of this.
It was Tom Jones.
No, yeah, this guy's name was Stan Dirt.
We're going to hire him for the murder mystery.
Do you think Stan Durst knows, Fred's brother, knows the worst of sexual healing? What if he's autistic and he only knows?
No sexual healing ever. It was banned.
What if he's autistic and that's the only song he knows? He's like Rain Man.
Can you do the, it's what's it called? It's Not Unusual. Can you do that Tom Jones song?
He doesn't want to.
I could probably learn that one. I probably would like that one more than sexual healing.
That's instantly identifiable.
Yeah, come on. It's Not Unusual is not a song about trying to be provocative and in pursuit of a woman sexually.
You know what it is? I dated a girl who
fucked Marvin Gaye.
Who had my ringtone on her phone was sexual healing. And it was so there's already negative connotations with that.
Well, what happened in the relationship?
It was a garbage relationship. It lasted a year, and then she was like, I think we need a break, and then 3 months later she was engaged to some other dude.
This guy named Stan. What about I'll Make Love to You by Boys to Men?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I could. Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, but then give him that song.
That's me and my mom's song.
Well, here's the problem. Can I tell you the problem
you
with
just sing it to me as a baby.
Can I tell you the problem with changing the song? Because
Robbie's
going to have to do work.
Robbie sounds happy, for it.
I am happy to change it.
All right, we're getting there. And then after Robbie does the work, Tommy's still not going to memorize the song. What difference does it make? What song he doesn't know the words to?
I want to hear the beginning of this song.
Hold on, guys. If you want, I will double down my effort, which right now my effort is zero, but I'll put in one effort and double it down.
So two times zero is zero.
Yeah.
I will learn sexual healing.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to make you.
I was sick and didn't. Yeah.
Well, I figure if you're sick, you know, like, for example, when you're sick, you're bored, right? You got nothing to do. You're sitting inside. Here's
yeah,
I'll make love
lay
to.
There. I don't want to torture myself by listening to a song I don't like.
It's Hold a on. Slower build-up.
It is. It's a big build-up on this song, Rob.
But high fidelity.
Yes. How do you like mono through Rob's cell phone?
Oh, this is great. You can only get this on the Moore Network, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. You know what? If you'd have just learned the fucking song,
yes,
we wouldn't be doing this.
I wouldn't have to hear Rob do this.
We got
All right.
Well, two more shows this run. I'll learn it.
You have 10 days, right? And say the 9th or the 10th. What's
10 days.
Today?
He's got 10 days.
You got 10 days. And by the way, if day 9 you haven't learned it, let us know a song you know, and we'll just insert it in. I'd rather that.
10 days to learn one of the top 10 sex songs the last 40 years.
Do you think that bit would go better if I sang the appropriate words?
I think if you sold it and you killed it, yes. Tommy, I've seen it happen at karaoke. See how it works.
Yes. He's correct. I thought about this long and hard. What you did was funny, but it's definitely better if you know the song, Tommy. And also, this character.
I like when Robbie takes him to test. Keep going,
this
Robbie.
This character would definitely learn the song.
Welcome to my world,
this
Tommy.
Yeah, hey, what would your character do?
Hey, shut up, both of you. Your brother made more sense by saying that it's appropriate for this character.
That's true. God, why? That's Robbie. You're correct, right?
Do you guys know that? And this is maybe I shouldn't reveal this, but Robbie thought that this was the role that he was best suited for. He was disappointed that you were chosen over him for this role.
No, that's not true. I think Tommy. I've said many times. Don't listen to them, Tommy. I've said many times. Tommy is the best actor we have. I've said it many times. You're perfect for this role. I just know that this is the role that I'm best suited for, and I would love it if you were just couldn't do it one time if I was able to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Robbie, don't you remember I followed you for a week? I shadowed you to nail that role last year.
I got bad news for you, Robbie. It's a lot easier for us to find people that are willing to do what Tommy's doing than willing to do what you do for us. That's a lot harder to find.
Yeah. Understood.
Hey, we could probably get that karaoke guy from Saturday night.
Oh, yeah? From your party, Joe?
I got real for a minute.
Rob's, Tommy's best friend. No, we definitely could get that guy just to spend time with Tommy. He would probably do it for free.
I'll just get John Coulter back.
Okay, enough. We should take a break, by the way.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it, dude.
See you, bro.
Feel better,
man. Guys, Merry Christmas, everybody listening. I'll see you guys.
Later.
Later.
See you. Come on out the 20th.
There you go. Rob and Jeff,
we will.
Oh, shit.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f***ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 23rd at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Good start to the show, gentlemen.
Strong.
Man. Yeah. Why don't we start second segment here with your big news in the Robinson Push household.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you go on to my Twitter, at Joe M. Robinson, you can see a picture of my new dog, Oscar.
Or the TMOS fan page also.
Okay, we had a whole bit where we're going to get people to guess the name of the dog.
Okay.
That went out the window. Okay. All right. Is it named after Oscar Santana?
It's not. There was one person that asked that. Now, he is, if you listen to the show, you're a regular listener to the show, you know, both Katie and I, we have a great affinity and love for movies. We go to the movies, probably been to 40 movies this year.
Yep.
And, we named our dog Oscar because of the Oscars and also because he's golden. And if you look at him, I don't need to sell this. He is fucking beautiful.
He is beautiful. I've met him and seen him in person. He's a very sweet, adorable dog. But I think the way that this happened is quite extraordinary. Can you, can we get Katie in here? Is she here?
Yeah, she's definitely listening because, hey, Katie, come here.
Because this is really a Katie story. Or as they call her on Twitter, Yoko Robinson.
Can I say this?
I'm so fucking annoyed.
So
that's a J.L. Covan.
So when
nickname for Katie.
I didn't see that. I don't know if it was buried in comments or whatever, right? But she goes, "Yeah, he called me Yoko Robinson." I immediately started laughing. I didn't know she didn't like it.
Oh, sorry.
Which is weird because she's definitely the pants wearer. Let's be serious. She wears the pants.
I've
right?
seen your Christmas tree. Yes.
So it's since she wears the pants, I thought she would think it was funny because she's clearly not a Yoko, right? But
are you fucking talking about J.L. Covan?
Hold on. Okay,
repeat
gotcha.
That.
Good, say that again.
I said, are you fucking talking about J.L. Covan?
No, we're talking about Yoko Robinson, which is funny. I laugh, but she did not think Yoko Robinson.
Here's why I think it's funny. Not funny.
Uh-oh.
This is somebody who...
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
You were in here to talk about the dog. It was supposed to be a happy, positive thing.
Tell me why you hate JL, though.
Let me just keep it a very, very brief.
All right.
It's very disrespectful. Because if you think that I'm trying to be on the show, like...
That's not what Yoko means. Yoko is the girl who... The female that broke up the Beatles. So
yeah, because John Lennon kept
herself
injecting
into the
her.
Situation.
Yes. Right. So you don't think that's disrespectful?
I mean, it may be. It's just it's still kind of funny, but you don't. I mean, it's not true.
But
so.
Did she inject herself, or did John Lennon inject her?
Also, I'm also the one calling you on here.
Yeah, I'm
she's
doing
not
it most of the time.
She was not talented.
It's still not.
That's where I disagree. I thought she was the talent.
I thought she was better than the Beatles.
Exactly.
I'm my own person. I'm not like... Maybe at one point I was Joe's girlfriend or whatever, but I'm my own person now. So I don't normally get offended by things, but I hated it.
Oh, you actually were offended by it.
I was offended by it. I'm pissed off.
You're still
and
mad
clearly
about it?
Clearly I need somebody like Lou because Lou's a ride or die like you were just talking about.
Oh.
And obviously you're not.
Oh, so I should be like, fuck JL, right?
JL has broken up
Katie.
Your marriage.
So I'm going to have to fight this guy.
Katie, not only was it not funny, Katie. I defended you.
100%. And I even said that to Joe. I said, your brother came to my defense. And Joe's like, well, let me go on. And of course, Joe didn't say a word. And he obviously thinks it's funny.
Well,
and no, but it pisses me off because obviously I've told you multiple times that I fucking... And now I hate this guy.
You hate him?
I literally hate
just
this guy.
One thing.
No, I already was kind of like, I felt like he kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I feel like he sort of like talks down to people. Like his opinion's more important.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Like, yeah, even geographically. Like, yeah, I'm so pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly.
Well, I hate him too then.
Yeah,
sorry,
sure.
JL.
I'm
hate you now.
But he hates Trump just like your mother does, right? So let's just bond you two together.
God, I hope Trump wins the next election now.
Just to piss off JL. Just for JL.
I hope to God he gets reelected now.
You know, it is funny because there was somebody, not JL, but somebody, I've said this on the air before, that was so annoying regarding his Trump hate that I was rooting for Trump just to I'd ruin the country just to stick it to this guy.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if he gets reelected, the first thing I do is go straight to his page and just write,
"Make America Great Again." Again.
Ha, ha.
This might inspire JL to bring the podcast back.
Good. Bring it back.
Well, he has a Trump podcast.
Yeah, but he can't dedicate that to Katie Push.
Oh, God.
So let's get to something happy, positive.
Yeah, much happier.
Yeah, because everyone thinks I'm super angry on here. So this is, well, but this, you kind of set me up for it by calling
sorry,
me a ghost,
baby.
Though.
I didn't know you were that angry about
no,
it.
No, guys.
Okay, moving on. Let's
guys,
get.
Guys, sorry.
Sorry, Yoko.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Can we name your dog JL?
She just gave me the gas face. Sorry.
So you go into the pets.
Yes.
The whatever you call it.
I've told the story 100 times. So no? I'll keep it, okay. You know. Spark Notes version.
No, tell it the best
we,
you can.
Last week, that is actually him. Last week, we went to the animal control, which is a little bit different than SPCA. Robbie mm-hmm. probably knows this. So there's like humane societies, SPCAs, there's, you know, whatever, rescues you can use. But the animal control is a place where you can like surrender your dog, or if it's like a stray and they find it, they keep it for like 48 hours. And then if nobody claims it, and it's not chipped, microchipped, they will put it up for anyone to just come get. You don't have to put in an application. It's like the easiest process, but
right.
They also, the dogs go very quickly and they're usually all pit bulls. And nobody freak out at me, but I'm not, we didn't want a pit bull. We made that very clear. So sure. We went there last week just to visit, and we usually bring like blankets and stuff or whatever. So we went to visit and there was a golden retriever there named Flash.
Can I say something real quick? We'd never seen a golden retriever.
Never. In all
never
the times.
Never seen one.
So your eyes lit up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we were like, look at this dog. But I immediately noticed on the tag, it had a sticker that said adoption pending. Mm. So I'm like, of course. Like the second somebody sees this dog, it's going to go. So we were like, whatever. So we walk out. And before we leave, I asked the lady at the front, is there any way we could like, if something falls through, we could be on like a waiting list or something for this dog. And she's like, you can call back, but he has to get neutered on this day. They're going to come pick him up on this day. So call this day. So I called and she's like, yeah, you know, he's definitely getting picked up on Friday or Saturday. Well, we were in Boston. So I'm like, well, we're never going to get this dog now. Fast forward to Saturday morning when we decided to go to Uber Bagels for breakfast with Joe and the kids. And Joe Robinson insisted that we go on the way home to just take a look at the dogs that came in. It didn't even cross my mind this dog would have been there.
Normally, Katie is fast to go, but I think she was a little bitter about
the rejection of stranger.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I was like, I don't really want to go. And he's like, let's just swing by. It'll take 15 minutes out of the way. And I'm like, ugh. So he drives over there and we walk in. It's on, and then this is no lie. It's probably almost the last dog in the cage all the way at the end.
Yeah.
So we were walking, looking at all the dogs. And then I look over and the dog is still there, and the tag or the sticker said potential adopter was ripped off.
Yeah, it was actually the little thing that says their name and everything. It had a rip in it from where they
like they
took the
ripped
tag
it
off.
So
I didn't
he's in play now.
Well, I didn't spend a half a second looking at the dog. I ran to the front and I was like, is Flash still getting adopted? And they said, no, the family who adopted them brought their dog in so they could meet. Cause I guess if you have a dog at home, they have to see them interact before they give you the dog. And it attacked him.
Yes.
Yes. Their dog attacked
Flash.
Their
dog attacked Flash. And they were like, we can't give them this dog. So she's like, he's been available for the last 45 minutes. I was like, well, how do I get him? I start bawling at the front. I'm like, this lady's not going to give me a dog because she thinks I'm mentally insane. But I'm like, I have to have this dog. You have to give me this dog. I'm crying. She's like, fill this paper out. Give me your ID. Show me your like proof that you own your home and you can take him. And I was like, done. So I gave her all of my information. She's like, that'll be $25. I'm like, what? This is the best day of my life. Now, the ladies at the front, they were like, this dog does not walk on a leash. I can't get him out. We have to use another dog. Like, what's the thing in horse racing where they use a horse to like.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. But they couldn't.
Like an escort horse.
Yeah, they can't get the dog out. So the dog is being drug out on a leash. She's terrified. I mean, it was like I wasn't nervous. I never thought we made the wrong decision, but I was like, this is going to be some work. to get this dog to come out of its shell. We've had him for 2 days and he is like a dream dog. He's loves to go for a walk. He's so cuddly. He's so sweet. I mean, he's scared of things, but he's just the sweetest dog in the whole world.
Yeah, he's very gentle. You know, you don't have to worry about it. There's only one downside. He won't come upstairs.
Yeah.
So he currently lives downstairs.
You know who else rescued a golden retriever?
Who's that?
J.L. Covan.
How he did?
Are you kidding?
Its name Yoko?
His name is Cookie. And every day.
Horrible name, by the way.
He shits in his apartment. Right, Katie? And that makes Katie happy.
Oh, it does? Great. Yes. All right. Yes. Good job, Cookie.
You haven't heard, he talks about Cookie nonstop.
No, no. I've heard him mention Cookie a million times. I didn't know Cookie was a golden retriever. Yes.
Yeah, retriever is not an apartment dog, J.L.
I actually like the name Cookie.
Why did you? Because the dog was named Flash Golden?
No, his name was Flash, but I think it was a play on Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I would name him Flash Golden as the full
name.
But
let me tell you something.
Which
this
seems
dog,
like a perfect name, this, and then you change it to Oscar
this
Santana.
This dog is not
this
a
dog
Flash.
Is not Oscar Santana is not the dog's name.
This dog is very slow, very calm. He's not Flash. He doesn't look like a Flash to me. He looks like an Oscar.
Well, that's some funny. Sort of irony, right? Like you call a big fat guy tiny or whatever.
I think Oscar's kind of funny.
Right. Or you call Joe Nice.
Yeah. I mean, we have so many fun little nicknames for him already.
That's
like,
right.
I call him Oscar. Get it? Like Cardi B. Never mind. This
no,
is not old our audience.
I don't get it,
old
actually.
Old audience.
Not our audience. We're not kind of like that.
Anyway.
I call the dog Academy Award.
Nice. Everyone said we should get another dog and name him Grammy.
We call him La La Land. No, I mean Moonlight.
And then get another dog and name him Tony.
Does he know what walk-off music is? Mac will appreciate that reference. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And
we rescued. We did not buy a dog from a breeder.
We adopted. We didn't shop it.
Yeah, there you go, Robbie.
Are you prepared now, Joe, for Katie? You are now clearly number two in the pecking order of things that she focuses on and is interested in. Actually, probably number three behind your Christmas tree. The dog, the Christmas tree, and then Joe.
No, it doesn't bother me. I will say this. One thing that I don't love is that the dog definitely likes her more than me. I can tell by the way it reacts when I come in.
I think he's afraid of men.
He's not afraid of me, but he gets a lot more excited to see her than he gets to see
like
me.
Like most men.
Well, I'd like for him to like me more than her. I'm the male. He's supposed to view me as the alpha, but he knows immediately she's the alpha.
I will end up being the disciplinarian once this whole phase of him being scared. I mean, we can't discipline him. There's nothing to discipline him over right now. So
yeah, by the way, he's housebroken.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
He's 100% housebroken, no accidents, but he's got separation anxiety. So I bought a video camera where I can talk to him from work.
Well, doesn't Tommy have one of those things too?
Yeah.
Katie's wearing a dog mom sweatshirt. Are you going to get a dog dad?
That was a gift shirt? That was given to her. I don't know that I have anybody unless you're going to buy me one of those.
I didn't draw you in our Christmas thing.
No, that's somebody like if somebody were to get have a child and they have like a baby shower, that was a gift that was given to her for the dog.
Are you going to smoke cigars?
I don't have any. Sure, I'll smoke cigars.
All right.
No, we're very, very happy that Oscar's in the house.
I'm
we
very
love
happy,
him very
yes.
much.
Oscar Santana is a beautiful
Oscar's
dog.
Oscar's in the house.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Rob and Joshua will wrap it up.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob blew... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So we got to talk. Hey, Katie, I need you for one more thing. Yeah. I need you because last week we talked about with Frank Push, your neighbors having the projector lights that you, I think most people.
Oh, we haven't talked about this yet.
Hate. And you talked about with Frank when you all went out to eat about breaking in And
there was no breaking in, right out front. We just had to not be seen.
Stealing it. There was stealing you were joking like how you would do this caper that you would
eliminate. We also mentioned that Frank Push returned a cooked turkey. But
yes, and then Frank was adamant that this is wrong and that if you did this, he would tell on you.
That's correct.
Right. So then, Katie, continue.
The next day, I come home from work and I pull into the driveway and he put up a projection on my house.
So they're out there. We can plug them in when we leave. And it's weird because...
So hold on. He came over and he bought this thing.
Went
he
out.
Put it
it's
up.
Like a $40 gag. There's an extension cord. There's everything.
He bought
it.
He bought an extension cord. He also... he does. This is how much he doesn't give a fuck. He put the projector into the neighbor's ground because he thought it was a better angle. Like, and he's also plugging it into their outlet in their house. So they're paying for the electricity that is shining up on our house. Like, he just doesn't care at all. Now, by the way, he is awesome. And he's also the best granddad dog. He came over and played with him today in the middle of the day and took him for a walk.
But hear that,
these
Gramps?
These are the things he does that make me crazy. And he always is able to, like, one-up me.
It's pretty strong. When you were driving up, Katie, did you just get confused and think that was your... What were you thinking?
I thought the neighbors added on to theirs, and because I saw this like moving projection.
They were still going.
Theirs was on, and I was like, man, they added more of these fucking lights. And then I got closer, and I'm like, that's my house. And I was like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, no, she immediately knew, because there's who else is going to know or do that. But I had to then text the neighbors, not the neighbors with the lights, but the on the other side saying, hey, just so you'll know, this isn't, we don't like these. We're not doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want them to be like, wow, we thought these guys were cool, but not only are they not, but they also are using our electricity to have this thing shoved in our
I think Frank should buy them a Christmas present to make things right.
Here's the kicker, too. I was like, well, I'm not turning this on. And he's like, well, don't waste it. I go, you bought it as a like a gag gift and like to trick us. He's like, well, what are you going to do? You're just not going to use it. I just went out and bought it. You're not going to use it. I was like, he's like, fine, I'll come get it. So now my mom is pissed at me because he wants to put it on their house now because he doesn't want to waste it. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
We need to go do that. We need to pull a caper.
You know, we should put it in front of their house.
I got a better idea.
Oh.
We're going to put that in front of his house. We're also going to steal the neighbors, and we're going to put that in front of their house. So they're going to have both the ones that he bought and also the neighbors.
And then we go buy one. So there's three.
Oh, that's true. We don't have to make the investment of the one.
Exactly.
All right, done.
Nice. Take that, Frank.
I bet he loves it, and my mom's the loser in all
this.
Yeah,
that's going to backfire.
This sounds like the start of like a bad movie.
Remember
that Bad Neighbors movie where they're going back and forth doing pranks and shit?
Christmas with the Cranks.
Yes.
He also bought Joe, for Joe's birthday, he bought Joe a joke book.
Did I tell that last week?
I don't know, but it's about time. Yeah. Like, it's a book you can write your jokes in, or it's a book of jokes?
Oh, God, no.
No. I looked in there, and the pie plate closer was in there. Was in the joke book.
It was the last page, I'm sure. All right. Good job, Frank. God, that's so good. When you texted us, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, Robbie, will you put up that those lights, the picture of the lights on the Rob and Joe page?
The video you sent me?
Yeah, do you mind?
Well, no, I'm happy to do it, but you know when you send it through the text, it shrinks it very, very small.
Yeah, you gotta email those things.
That's what Katie took it. Do you have it on your...
I'm sure I could email it. Yeah.
Yes, of course that you would can. Be right, that would yes. work.
And then also, will you email the video of Robbie dancing that my sister sent?
Yes. All right. Resentments Kill, the number one bestseller from your uncle. Who's it, Charlie?
My uncle Charlie wrote a book called Resentments Kill. He wanted us to plug it on here. I wonder if we've sold any of the books based on it.
Let's find that out for next week.
Yeah, Robbie.
It makes a great Christmas present.
Robbie, as producer, can you please find out how many copies of Resentments Kill.
Do you think we could get Chris Restivo to read it and review it?
Hey, we
can
should
he
get
read?
My grandfather has like real bad dementia, but he just reads all day. We should get him to read it and give his opinion.
I think that's a great idea. But if you Google it, the first search comes up to our show, not the book.
Well, you say that, but that isn't what happened.
Uh oh. I was told wrong information.
When I Google searched it, the first search is letting go of resentments before they kill us. Amethyst Recovery. I can't say that word. Amethyst, right? That's the first one. The second one is Resentment's Kill. Life Rich Publishing. That's got to be the book, right?
Yeah, it's called Life Rich Publishing. That's sort of ironic.
Did you type in the correct thing? Resentment's Kill?
I did.
Because I did the same thing. I come up with Robin Joe episode number 394, then Life Rich Publishing, and then Overcoming Chronic Resentment.
Well, maybe it's changed since then.
Maybe it's really... Hey, there's 821,000 results. I mean, come on.
So go buy the book. Robbie turned me and Tawanda on to a new show, and I think this is a show that Katie should watch as well. Dirty John.
Yeah, on Bravo.
On Bravo. Are you watching it, Katie?
No, but I probably will.
Yeah, you're going to like it. I never thought much of Eric Bana as an actor. Is that how you say his name?
Bana? He's a good actor.
Fire.
Yeah, he's real good.
Oh, maybe I've never seen anything he's in. Maybe that's part of the problem.
No reviews found, by the way, on Resentment's Kill.
Really good.
Wasn't he the Hulk once?
He was.
I never
saw a shitty Hulk, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen any Eric Bana movie. Go to his IMDb.
All right, I'll do it.
Troy?
Nope.
Oh, no, he was in Hannah. Hannah's a great movie.
Don't know what that is.
You don't?
Oh yeah, that's a great movie.
Hannah and her sisters.
That's with the chick from Lady Bird, whatever that.
Rob just referenced a Woody Allen movie from the '80s.
I know my.
Basically,
movies.
You know, the early '80s, right?
Yeah, I can name movies.
All right, here we go with Eric Bana. He was in Munich.
No, wanted to see it. Though.
I don't know how many of these movies you're gonna know. Yeah, his. You know how they give you his top movies: Munich, Troy, Chopper, and The Time Traveler's Wife.
Nope.
So, yeah, it doesn't look like Black Hawk Down he was in.
Oh, I did see that, yes.
Finding Nemo, he was a voice. So
never
saw
that.
Of course, he was the Hulk. I saw that.
No.
Other than that, yeah, he was in the 2009 Star Trek movie. He was in Hannah. But
oh, I probably saw that Star Trek movie then. I think
yeah,
I did see that one.
You're right. I don't see a whole lot of things that I'm like, oh, God, everybody's seen these. I thought for some reason, other than the Hulk, he really was in no... The Hulk wasn't a great movie, but it was a superhero movie, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Munich, I guess, is his biggest movie.
I wanted to see Munich. It looks good.
Nope, that's it. Yeah, he hasn't been in great movies.
Why is there no The Mule review out yet? This is the movie I'm most excited about seeing in the upcoming months, and it comes out in 4 days or whatever, and there's nothing.
Well, it comes
out. It
looks
amazing.
Yeah. I see here Friday is the first day you can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll know in the next 2 days whether or not it's not being reviewed because it's a turd or for some other reasons. I'm
taking a look at you.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Because here's why. They release a movie like this the second week in December because they think it's an Oscar contender. That you don't release it. You don't wait unless you feel that way. So the idea that it hasn't come out for, you know, the critics to view, I don't think it's because it's a turd. I mean, I know you run into that a lot every once in a while, but there's a couple movies that haven't been reviewed, like Mary Poppins. I can promise you right now that Mary Poppins is going to be a fresh tomato.
Okay. Well, is it possible that they have made last-minute changes to The Mule, and therefore that's why there wasn't a screening?
Do they do that?
No,
do they? Is that even possible?
Yeah.
Not a Clint Eastwood movie. I doubt it.
Maybe there's somebody in the movie that there's a Me Too allegation coming out. They're trying to reshoot their scene.
I haven't heard any of the sort. Do you know what the best reviewed movie of the year so far is? Now, you can't count the 100% that only have like 20 reviews.
Like Bumblebee?
Bumblebee's got a 96% now, but no. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse has a 99%. Almost 100 reviews, one dick doesn't like it. Everybody else.
Let's get that guy on the show.
94 fresh, one rotten. And Katie and I will go see that. And that's really not something that she would normally go see. It's a cartoon, by the way. It's like a...
Yeah. No, I don't really do much with cartoons.
Yeah, but 99%.
Yeah, but I don't trust...
I won't see it.
I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes anymore.
99% though?
Yeah. No, I'll see a 99%er, but we've seen two movies that I've just really hated. That were in like the high 80s and in the low 90s.
Well, Creed 2, we didn't like. It has an 83.
Widows
has a 90.
That's absurd.
Yeah, it does not, doesn't. Green Book, 83. We liked it.
I think Green Book should have been higher.
Bohemian Rhapsody, 62%.
Yeah, that's right on point, if not lower.
Yeah, it should be lower than that.
All right, let's rapid fire some things here.
Sure.
Kevin Hart, my dear friend. was asked to do the Oscars, and then they wanted him to apologize for some 6 or 7 year old homophobic tweets, and he said, "You know what? I've spoken on this in the past. I feel like how I hold, you know, represent myself speaks for itself, and I'm just not going to go down that road. So I'll just bow out of contention."
Good. Quit apologizing. People don't need to apologize. I mean, it was a different world. By the way, I don't mind you saying, "Hey, I wish I hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for that." That's it. That's the very end of it. Unless you're not sorry, then I want you to not apologize. I don't want to get an insincere apology. I want to know who you really are, because I also like when people get redeemed. I talk about it all the time on here. It's okay if you acted away in a world that was different 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. It's not okay. It's understandable. And then it's okay to say, "Hey, I'm sorry that I said that. I'm not that person anymore." You know, you got people that are getting fired for all kinds of shit that they did back in the day. You know, there's a bit that, God, I'm trying to remember the comic who talks about Eddie Murphy's first two albums. Joe Matarese. Very funny. The track one is called the F word, but the one to describe gay people.
Yes. And then it's the next album, it's that part two.
Yeah.
That's literally in the title of the track. Not a joke about in the title track.
Yeah. I mean,
track number one.
I certainly believe there are things that are unforgivable. Maybe if you were a serial rapist like Bill Cosby, that's not forgivable.
Of course.
Okay. But the idea that you didn't really understand the harm that was being done by something that the culture was appropriating, I guess, at the time, and then you say, "Hey, God, I wish I was somebody different then. I didn't understand. I am so sorry for that behavior." Forgiven.
Hey, that's a tough gig. I believe that Kevin Hart will come across better having quit it than he would have if he had done it.
I think you're right. And I think, because, look, it would have been pretty easy to apologize because he didn't say anything incredibly horrible.
Do you know what he said?
Basically, you know, if I caught my, I think he used the F word a few times, but if I caught my child playing with dolls, I'd, you know, beat it out of him or something. Okay. So it wasn't, I mean, it's actually pretty bad.
Hilarious
but,
joke.
Well, the thing is, they weren't really jokes. They were just statements. By the way, he might even believe this, so maybe he doesn't want to apologize. But I think the point is, it's like, at some point, we got to just stop with this. You know, the guy that just won the Heisman Trophy. Somebody reported when he was 15, he like called his friends gay or something on Twitter. And it's like, at some point, we just got to like, enough.
As long as you say, yeah, that if you're defending it at this age, yes. But God, do you want to be accountable today for the things that you did and said when you were 15 years old? I was a fucking idiot. I still am. Right. Can you imagine?
And we didn't have the outlet that's so public where you say this. But I also think that the way people speak on Twitter is pretty horrible, the way people talk to each other. You know, Melania Trump can say, "I'm against bowling," and someone will say, "Well, I hope you get raped, you cunt." And like, that's fine. It's because that's just Twitter. So how, like, so I do kind of feel like I wish if you could just search someone's name, there's no private, you just see everything they've ever said online.
Well, if you want to protect speech, you risk it being offensive.
Right, but I feel like people online, they say things they would never say to someone in person.
No, I agree with that too. What I am saying is that the idea that we live in a country where our speech, we're free to speak as long as we're not inciting violence, or we're not slandering someone or libeling them.
Well, I'm not saying
them.
You should lose your job. I'm just saying if I'm a woman and I want to go on a date with a guy and I look up Steve Miller and he's, you know, Amy Schumer tells a joke and he says, you know, you're a fat whore, die. I think, you know, I'm just going to not date that guy.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. Right, I got you. Yeah. Your speech should be free, but you should also be tied to your speech. You should be accountable for the things that you say. Okay, you know, I agree with that.
Exactly. Speaking of entertainers of the highest level, Marcus Serta, you did your live radio read play, and I have a source that has some audio from that.
Excuse me? Are you going to play it on your phone?
I'm not. I think we're going to play it through the board. I don't even know how the terminology.
Robbie, you have that? Let's hear it.
You know how he is. I mean, he once brought home a baby Jesus lawn ornament, and I thought,
what?
Well, you know, one of those things.
Mary.
Where'd you get the baby Jesus, Tom?
Now, Jeff, don't jump to conclusions.
Where'd you get it, Tom?
There's a logical explanation for everything.
You stole my baby Jesus?
That's not a fair characterization of what happened. I found it in the street. The wind must have blown it there. I didn't know it was yours.
Mom, you wanted to know what kind of person steals a baby Jesus? Well, there's your manger mugger.
Nice.
Marcus Serta.
That felt like I was listening to a phone conversation. It was so authentic.
Very real. More real than my voicemail. Excellent job, Marcus.
Good job, Marcus.
Did you
voice there, that first voice is my wife.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, that part I didn't like. I thought that wasn't very good. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
The other guy was my favorite.
No, I'm kidding.
Was the other guy Jim Amato, your arch rival?
No, Jim wasn't in this show, but really great guy. Met for the first time. Had a great time with him.
That was my cue for you to tell your Jim Amato
clear
story.
Segue, wow. Clear segue, Marcus. Clear segue.
I'm really sorry. I haven't spoken to Jim Amato yet. So, yeah, there you go.
Hold on. The last...
This is Dr. Gill.
Last show we had, Jim Amato said, I don't know what problem Marcus has with me. He hasn't talked to me. He hasn't responded to me, blah, 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 blah. And then after that, a week went by and you guys haven't spoken?
Nope, not yet.
He hasn't reached out to you. You haven't reached out to him. I feel like the fact that he says you haven't been responding or talking to him, it was kind of on you to reach out.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, if you say so.
I honestly have not had
the bandwidth to call him, and it's not anything personal. But no, I have not spoken to him, and neither did he reach out to me after the show either. So
yeah, I got that. I'm not defending Jim, but I will say this: if I use Rob as an example,
all right.
Okay, Rob and I are friends. If I found out that he thought that I was ignoring him or might be upset with him, the very first thing I would do is call him and say, "Dude, I'm not mad. I've been busy." But you're like, I'm so busy, I don't even have time to tell him I was too busy to talk to him.
There you go. You just explained it. I don't
know. All right.
Okay.
As we get out of here, I have a quick Gramps story.
Oh, no. You're not going to end on this, are you?
No,
Rob?
I won't. I'll save it. But I will end on this. Breaking Chris Restivo news. Chris Restivo was with G-Man DeBoss. That's his Facebook name. So proud of my good friend Twan. On his new adult nightclub opening up soon, as opposed to a children's nightclub. You're looking at the newest floor manager at Club Adore.
Hold on.
ADOR. I don't know if it's Adore.
That's not a word. Okay. Let me get this straight. And by the way, if you're a new listener and you don't know who Chris Restivo is, listen to a show. It's probably like 4 years old now, but even more than that. And the show is titled A Star is Bjorn, B-J-O-R-N. Right, Robbie?
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, and that will tell you who Chris Restivo is. He's a local comic here, using that term very loosely. But what you're telling me is that somebody is opening a gentleman's club. It's an adult nightclub, I assume, because he's looking for talent.
Yeah,
so
it says looking for new talent. If you think you have what it takes to be an Adore girl and are inquiring about an interview, drop us a line.
Now, so you think that this is... You're going to see naked women at this club. That's the assumption I have.
I think so. But then somebody asked location... This is where it gets shady, because this seems to be an easy question to answer. I'll drop you a line tomorrow or message you. It's still being renovated, but I will be interviewing people.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't you want people to know where your gentleman's club is?
Yeah. Like, even if it's being renovated, there's a city that it's in. There's a street that it's on.
Well, I have another question. Would you hire someone with no experience at all whose last job was at Ross Dress for Less as the floor manager to your nightclub? Would you do that?
I would never hire him in any position capacity as manager of the title.
Hey, how's it going?
So what we know about Chris, the last job he had where he got a paycheck was Ross Dress for Less, but he has been a day trader.
Yes.
He's been a disc jockey, not a disc jockey like you and I are when we're on 98 Rock, but he's spinning records.
Yes.
And also he was a day trader. Did I already say that?
He did. Well, it's worth repeating.
But there's another job I'm missing. Oh, a clothing designer.
Oh, yeah, of course. Five plate of clothing. Hey, shout out to Tom Jewell. He's one of our regulars at the Bright Box. He's the one that emailed me. Maybe this was bonus show. I can't remember. Some jokes to tell, which I didn't. But he is starting. He makes his own coasters. He's calling his company Five Plated Coasters.
Is that real?
Yes. 100% real. And it's the greatest thing ever. Can we get someone, a girl that we know, maybe Erica, your friend Erica, to interview with Restivo to work at this club?
100% Erica would do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Done.
All right. And record it. Rob and Joe Show. That's it. We're coming up on the 400 soon, right, Robbie?
1st of January, we're going to have a 400th.
We've got all kinds of things planned.
Yeah. And so Mac's going to be upset that we talked about what Rob ate and we didn't talk about the story we have about Gramps, but we promise next week.
We also have a Jim Amato montage that we couldn't get to because we were too busy.
We're very busy.
Yes, Marcus didn't have time to get to Jim Amato either, so Jim Amato is just being rebuffed at every opportunity.
I thought it was the smoothest segue ever. I got to that Amato.
I knew immediately what was going on. Nothing. Yeah, nope.
God, he's so busy. He couldn't memorize section. You know, like, oh, that's Tommy.
You know what he's good about is if it's scripted and he's reading it, he's excellent at that.
We should hire him.
You know what I would tell? I will say that if we were ever in Vermont or near Vermont, I would have Marcus in the murder mystery.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have his wife, too. I'd make her wear my shirt.
I'd give him that role Robbie wanted.
Hey, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Later.
Later.
Joe is a fucking douchebag.
Happy holidays, Joe.